LSU baseball wraps up their opening weekend with a splash of an offensive performance all weekend against Maine. We'll recap Jay Johnson's first weekend, first series as LSU baseball's head coach, as well as some of the studs and the duds that we saw from this past weekend, albeit there probably weren't very many duds, but we'll take a look into the entire first weekend of LSU baseball on today's edition of Locked On LSU.
You are Locked On LSU, your daily podcast on the LSU Tigers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcasts. I am Caroline Fenton, and I am your host, as I am every morning. I'm an LSU alum. I'm a diehard LSU fan, and I am now a sports talk radio host in Nashville, Tennessee for ESPN 102.5, The Game. You can follow me on Twitter at CarolineFenton1. You can also follow the Locked On LSU Twitter at Locked On LSU, as well as subscribe to the Locked On LSU YouTube channel. I will post updates on my Twitter and the Locked On LSU Twitter, and I'll also post the podcast every day to Locked On LSU, so make sure that you subscribe so you get notified as soon as the podcast drop. But we had a pretty exciting weekend at the box. LSU opens their season against Maine, a 51-run sweep of the Black Bears, their first week of the season, Jay Johnson's first series at LSU, and it absolutely was a statement of a weekend. It was a program record in a three-game series. The previous record was 45 runs set in 1996 against Western Kentucky. This 51-run offensive firework show that we saw at Alec Box this past weekend. They averaged 12 runs per game. So if you were a little bit nervous, there'd be a little bit of an offensive hiccup between the Pulmonary and the Jay Johnson eras, don't you worry. I think that set all of your fears to rest there. LSU moved from number 3 to number 2 in the country in the collegiate baseball rankings. They were number Vanderbilt, as now sitting at number 4. They were formerly number 2. They dropped because of their two-game loss against Oklahoma State, who is now sitting at number 3, who was previously number 7, so shot up with the rankings there. LSU moved from number 4 to number 3 in the latest perfect game ranking, so just kind of depends on what you look at there. I believe they're sitting at number 8 in the perfect baseball rankings, kind of all over the place, but we're only one weekend into the season, only one series into the season, so a lot of room for interpretation there, but absolutely a great start for LSU baseball. LSU holds its number 8 ranking in D1 baseball, fell from 10 to 11 in Baseball America. Like I said, it's only the first weekend. You can't read too far into it. But I think the things that I can look into, the biggest takeaways from the weekend, really the number one takeaway and I think the most important thing to focus on, because while there were some great outings on the mound, Mikhail Hilliard, a little bit of a hiccup there in the middle of his outing on Saturday, but overall, pretty solid performance out on the mound. But I think the biggest thing here is how electric that offense was. It was the bats absolutely got a workout of their own on Saturday. Here is what Coach Jay Johnson had to say about the offense after the win on Saturday.
I just think the consistency of the quality of bats. I think we scored in every inning until the last one, and I think that was a stretch of like going back to last night, like 12 in a row. I don't know if I've ever seen that before. So I think it's a tribute to the players, good play discipline, just more settled into the game, I think, which that doesn't surprise me. So it's a good job. Good results came from some good approaches.
I mean, I have to agree. That's my biggest takeaway from the weekend, too. And there are a lot of things that you can micro-analyze, you know, anything on defense, like I said, on the mound, any pitching performances. But I think the biggest thing here, you know, don't get too cute with it. 51 runs in 3 games, averaging 12 runs a game, I think is my number one, an overall takeaway, and anything else that I could microanalyze doesn't even really do it justice. So I'm going to stick with that as my biggest and only takeaway, is how electric those bats were at the box this past weekend. And I also want to make sure that we don't put too much real estate into just one series. You know, if you see them come out next game against Louisiana Tech on Wednesday, see them come out against Louisiana Tech, and let's say, you know, I use the word only very lightly, but let's say they only score 6 runs. That's okay. You're not going to see an average of 12 runs a game. You're not going to see a 51-run outing every single weekend. But I think the important thing here is coming out with such a statement in the first weekend. I mean, you look at Vanderbilt, who Oklahoma State is not some sort of cupcake opponent, but Vanderbilt, you know, coming out, going to the College World Series in this past season, you know, they didn't win it, but going to the College World Series final, and they come out and they go 1-2 in their first 3 games. Vanderbilt fans, I'm sure that's a cause for concern, but again, you can't put too much real estate into one weekend. But I think that LSU being able to have those statement wins against a team they really should have statement wins against, I think is huge, both for the confidence and the momentum moving forward for this team. But coming up next, I want to highlight some of the studs and the duds of the weekend. Now, it's hard to nitpick exactly who was a dud in a 51-run outing in a series, but we'll take a look at really who shined this past weekend, who, on top of so much good that happened this weekend, who really kind of rose out as the most impressive of the weekend, and some things that are causes for concern moving forward. We'll get into the studs and the duds of LSU baseball's opening weekend. But before we do that, I got to let y'all know that even though football might be over for this season, basketball is in full steam, both for pro and college hoops. College baseball getting underway. Pro baseball's up in the air, but you can get in on all of the action, from the latest odds, totals, player performance props, to where the next fired coach is going to land, all on betonline.net, which is the number one spot for all of your sports betting needs. Consider it a one-stop shop. They are the best spot for all of your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. And BetOnline doesn't have just basketball. Like I said, you got college baseball, they've got hockey, boxing, UFC, odds, right to the Olympic coverage and information. BetOnline.net is your source for all things betting across all sorts of sports. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Studs and duds from LSU baseball's opening weekend against Maine. First, I want to thank you for making the Locked On LSU podcast your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Now, studs, I feel like I could go on for hours because there is a laundry list of LSU players that went out there and just played their butts off. But three in particular that stood out to me. This weekend was the Cade Doughty show. Oh my goodness. I said my biggest takeaway for the weekend was offense, where the bats were the sheer number of runs that were being scored in that first outing against Maine, and Cade Doughty was a big contributor to it. First and foremost, named SEC Player of the Week, that speaks for itself. Cade Doughty led the SEC with 12 RBIs and 17 total bases, tied in the SEC with 8 total hits out of his 14 at-bats, a 5.71 batting average. Absolutely just insane weekend for Cade Doughty at the plate. On Saturday, he was 3-for-6, including a double, 5 RBIs, and he had a 3-run home run in the first. I mean, it was the Cade Doughty show. It was almost like every single time he came up to bat, I was expecting something remarkable and something amazing, and Cade Doughty pretty much did deliver on almost every single at-bat. On Sunday, he had another 3-run home run, a double, and a sac fly for 5 RBIs as well. Cade Doughty responsible for so much of this offensive firepower, and especially a team that builds off of momentum that Jay Johnson kind of highlighted there of, you know, this is a team that we have a lot to work off of. This is a team that we have a lot to build off of. Cade Doughty is absolutely the foundation there, at least at the plate, and at least what we saw in the first weekend. So Cade Doughty, my number one stud for the weekend. Another stud at the plate for the weekend, Jacob Berry. In back-to-back at-bats on Saturday, back-to-back at-bats in the 6th and 7th innings, he hit absolute bombs into right field. Jacob Berry, another player who's kind of emerging himself as he gets up to the plate and you can kind of feel it in the air that you're expecting something great to happen. Jacob Berry, his first home runs as a Tiger in back-to-back at-bats in the 6th and 7th innings. I mean, Jacob Berry was absolutely lights out. He put the Tigers up 11 runs in the bottom of the 7th on Saturday. I mean, this team, it's, and like I said, you're not going to take too much away from the first weekend, but this team seems like it's building up itself to be, you know, not just one slugger, not just one four-hole hitter that you can look to say, all right, we got to trust in this guy to get us out of a hole. Cade Doughty and Jacob Berry, also Giovanni DiGiacomo, all players that you can kind of rely on to get those bats moving. But, I mean, with Jacob Berry, this is something that's kind of new for us, but it is nothing new for Coach Jay Johnson. He said that his performance on Saturday was no surprise. This is what Jay Johnson had to say about Jacob Berry.
I mean, I've seen so much of it, I don't even think of it that way, you know. Great performance. I think, for me, great hitters make adjustments, you know, between pitches and at-bats, and he makes them quickly, and, you know, when he gets his swing off on a good pitch, you see what happens there, and really good mindset, and I think just a start, and a good picture of who he is, which was awesome.
My third stud, I guess studs of the weekend, is just the LSU starting pitcher rotation as a whole. They had a cumulative 16 strikeouts over the weekend. Friday, Blake Money on the mound. Saturday, Mikhail Hilliard, who allowed 4 hits and 3 earned runs, walking 1, striking out 2. Mikhail Hilliard, not the absolute best outing for him, but Jay Johnson said that even though he gave up those 4 runs, excuse me, those 4 hits, not 4 runs, 4 hits, he came back out and was able to get a 0 on the scoreboard. And Sunday, Ty Floyd, a sophomore right-hander, finished the day with 8 strikeouts, not letting anything off the gas on Sunday, continuing that momentum through Sunday and saying, hey, we had an absolute statement game on both Friday and Saturday, and we're going to keep that thing moving on Sunday. Ty Floyd, sophomore right-hander, had an absolutely lights-out game on Sunday. So there you go. You got Cade Doughty, unbelievable weekend, SEC Player of the Week. Jacob Berry, who had home runs and back-to-back outings in the 6th and 7th innings on Saturday. He's absolutely making a statement for his first outing as a Tiger, and also the starting pitcher rotation in Blake Money, Mikhail Hilliard, and Ty Floyd. They had a great opening weekend. And I wouldn't be surprised if we start to see a little bit of a shakeup in the pitching rotation as things move on. Again, as Jay Johnson has said, he is not shying away from switching things up, from, you know, trying new things to see what is best for this team. So I really do like and appreciate the fact that Jay Johnson is not married to any sort of batting lineup, any sort of pitching rotation. So we may start to see that switch up a bit in the future. But in that first weekend, this pitching rotation absolutely did their job and they were lights out. But again, the offense overshadows pretty much everything else that we saw over the weekend. Cade Doughty, Jacob Berry, Giovanni DiGiacomo. The list goes on and on of players who just were absolutely lights out this past weekend. Now, duds. This player isn't necessarily a dud for anything that he did on the field. It's just the fact that the Tigers are going to lose him for the foreseeable future. Cade Beloso, redshirt junior, DH, injured his knee in the huddle on Friday night. And that's what you kind of hate to see. You know, you spend the entire offseason, and this season it kind of feels like things are finally getting back to normal. You know, I know we had fans in 2021, but this just feels a little bit different. Like, life is really getting back to normal. Cade Beloso has proved himself to be an integral part of this lineup, and in the huddle, it seemed like he injured his knee. So this is what Coach Jay Johnson had to say about Cade Beloso.
He has a knee injury. He will be out for a while. I don't know if it's season-ending or not. There was a little ambiguity in that, but he will not be available for a while.
So a little bit frustrating that there's no for sure set timeline, that it's all kind of up in the air for Cade Beloso, but really a tough hit for this team to not have Cade Beloso and to lose him before the season even formally got started, before the first pitch of the season was even thrown out. So tough loss there, but got to hope for a speedy recovery for Cade Beloso and that he can get back out on the field very soon. That's my only dud of the weekend, because I don't want to nitpick too much of the opening weekend. We've only got a 3-game sample size. It was a pretty darn good sample size. Only losing Cade Beloso to injury is my only kind of downfall to this past weekend. Not going to look too far into it. Going to be pumped about what we saw. I'm not going to dissect too much into it. It's only the first series. Once we get more of a sample size, we'll be able to see more of, you know, is that consistent? Is this what we're going to expect to see from LSU baseball week in and week out, game in and game out? But for now, just enjoy the offensive fireworks show that we saw from this past weekend and hope that it can continue in the future. But also just going to monitor Cade Beloso and that knee injury moving forward. Now, coming up next, I kind of want to take a little bit of a macro look at exactly what we saw from this past weekend, what to see moving forward, Jay Johnson's plans moving forward, and also kind of the comfort that I think LSU Tigers fans can take in what we saw in the first weekend. We'll get into that coming up next. But before we do that, I want to tell y'all about Built Bar. So this is the first time, so around February is around the time of year that I've kind of given up on my New Year's resolutions. I always say, you know, going into the new year, I want to go to the gym every day. And by February, it's getting tough to fit into my schedule. And it's not really as fun to wake up at 5, 6 o'clock in the morning every day to make it to the gym. So I kind of give up on it. But this year, I'm sticking to my resolution to eat right because Built Bar makes it so easy. It really doesn't feel like a resolution because I actually enjoy eating Built Bars. All Built Bars are covered in 100% real chocolate. The Puffs. Puffs are new. They're like marshmallows. They're covered in 100% real chocolate as well. So it tastes like you're eating a candy bar, but they're low calorie and they're high protein. You can replace all of your desserts and all of your candy bars with these because they're better and they're better for you. A candy bar can be anywhere from 200 to 300 calories, but compare that to a Built Bar, which contains only 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, only 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. It'll keep you full all day. I mean, see for yourself. Go to BuiltBar.com. And scroll down to the macros chart. You will be blown away at how good Built Bars are for you. High protein, low calorie, high fiber, low carb. It's everything that you do need and nothing that you don't, but they don't compromise the taste. Plus, they've got delicious flavors. Mint brownie, coconut, coconut almond, all new for this month. White chocolate cookies and cream. It is so delicious. It tastes like an Oreo. They're all delicious. They're new flavors coming out all the time. If they think that a flavor might be good, they will make it. They're not afraid to experiment. It will be delicious and it's good for you. They're all about the taste. They make it taste delicious first and then they pack in all that good stuff, all the low sugar and the high protein. They'll make it healthy. I don't really know how Built Bar does it, but I don't want to ask questions because they do it and they do it well. Here's your offer. Go to Built.com. Use promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. I think another one of my big takeaways from this weekend is, you know, be really excited about the offense, but don't get too hung up on one series. Stay hopeful for the future. Stay hopeful that this is what we will continue to see from this LSU baseball team. But don't get too hung up on one series. Don't put too much real estate into one series. But there is a lot to be optimistic about. Jay Johnson was able to swap out starters for freshmen and get them experience early. And early on, they were able to start swapping out their starters in the fifth inning on Friday. And Jay Johnson's embracing changes in the lineup. He's getting in guys when they can, get experience when they can. Whenever he goes into a game, he's not married to the game plan. And I kind of appreciate that. If things are going well, if you feel comfort, then yeah, throw those freshmen in. Get them some experience and make this team so much more well-rounded. And that's what we saw from Jay Johnson this past weekend. And I think another thing is, things felt like they didn't really skip a beat. I think that Brody Miller pointed out something very interesting in his Athletic article that LSU sports are going through a lot of changes. Brian Kelly coming in his first season as the head football coach for LSU. Kim Mulkey in her first season as the women's basketball coach. We saw Dede Bro step away from gymnastics just a short couple of seasons ago. And Brody Miller also pointed out that while Will Wade is in his fifth season, we're always on our toes with Will Wade. So it seems like within LSU athletics, there's not a ton of consistency. There's a lot of newness. And of course, Jay Johnson stepping into this role as the head football, as the head baseball coach. It kind of felt like, you know, everything that we're so used to seeing, this classic tradition of LSU baseball under the helm of Paul Maneri was ending. But I do have to say, this past weekend didn't feel like it was an era that was ending. It felt like there was a new captain at the ship of this new era, but it didn't really feel like things were completely different. It didn't really feel like things were completely changing. And I think that LSU fans can kind of take comfort in that, in knowing that this team found so much success under Paul Maneri, and this team probably won't, at least fingers crossed, it won't take any steps back or won't have any hiccups entering this new era. It felt like, okay, you know, like this is what is right. This is what is next. You know, the weather was beautiful in Baton Rouge, and the stands were packed at Alec Buck Stadium. It just kind of felt like same good old traditional LSU baseball. And I at least found comfort in that amongst all of the craziness and the change, not just in LSU baseball, not just in LSU athletics, but kind of just in the world in general. I felt solace in knowing that and feeling that LSU baseball is in good hands. And Jay Johnson proved that in that first series. If this first series is going to be an indication of anything, it's that this team is in good hands. Now, we're only one series in. We're only one weekend in. And we've got a long season ahead of us. So what's next? What's next for this team? Jay Johnson says this team can continue to make improvements game in and game out. Here's what he had to say about what we can look forward to.
It's about, and I don't know if this is an improvement thing, but just continuing to move forward. Once you get into the season, it comes at you fast. And so the day before doesn't have anything to do with the next day unless you let it, both positively or negatively. So, you know, it's just like, hey, it's great. High five. We're going to celebrate winning. And then we're going to move on to what we need to do for the next day. So I'd say that's a point of emphasis. In terms of improvement, you know, in the middle of the game last night, probably about 12 hitters into it, we kind of got under control. And for me, that's what I wanted to see from the start of it. And then I think we obviously threw the ball from the mound great last night. I thought we weren't terrible, could have pitched better. We made a couple plays defensively that we'll go back and we'll just clean up and just say, hey, this was probably a better way to handle that situation. So, you know, all in all, I'm pleased. And then it's just it becomes all about tomorrow. And we'll address some things that happened in the game today as kind of the first thing we do when we show up. And then we kind of put that behind us, use it as improvement, and then get to what we're doing and an approach and mindset for the next day.
I love that so much. I love that he's never going to get comfortable. I mentioned it last week about Will Wade, how much I appreciate that they could blow a team out by 20, 25, 30 points, and he'll always nitpick things that they could do better. And that's how you stay a good team. That's how you stay consistent, and that's how you continue to beat teams by 20, 25, and 30 points, is continuing to make those improvements. So how do you continue to keep up these, you know, double-digit run games? Continue to make improvements. I appreciate hearing that from Jay Johnson. Now, what is next in at least the near future? LSU will hit the road and take on Louisiana Tech in Ruston on Wednesday. I'll have a full preview of that on Wednesday morning. What you need to look out for, starting pitcher, kind of doing a little bit of a scouting report for Louisiana Tech, what we can expect from that midweek game. First pitch is at 6 p.m. Central. Now, Louisiana Tech enters this game undefeated as well. They swept Wichita State in their first series this past weekend. So that'll be another thing to look forward to. From what we've seen in the past, now, of course, this is a different team, but LSU always struggles in these midweek games. So I'll do a full preview of the Louisiana Tech game on Wednesday. I'll have that ready for y'all on Wednesday morning. And we'll also do a recap of LSU basketball over the weekend and a preview of their game against Kentucky on Wednesday as well. So look forward to all of that dropping on the Locked On LSU podcast. Thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. Now make your second listen. Locked On NFL Draft. Ryan Tracy and former NFL cornerback Eric Crocker bring the NFL Draft to life every day with insight and analysis on college football prospects and NFL front offices. It is free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Tiger fans, we'll see y'all tomorrow.